else like you, like you. Oh, there is no one else like you, for you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. Oh Lord, there is no one else like you. For you are great. Yes, Lord Jesus. You are wonderful to us, Lord. We praise and worship your name, Lord Jesus. How we love you, Lord God. Oh, you're our rock, Lord. You're our Savior, Lord. Oh, you're everything to us, Lord Jesus. We just praise and worship your name, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen.
So great. There's no one else like you. Oh, there is no one else like you.
For you are great.
So great.
You do me.
So great. So great. So great. Like you. There is no one else like you. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. There's no one like you, Lord. There's no Savior like you, no God like you, no person like you. You are God and you are God alone. Oh, Lord, how we worship you, we praise you, we honor you this day. Mighty God. Mighty God. You deserve the glory, all the honor. You deserve it all, oh Lord God. No man gets credit, no person, Lord, but you. Oh, miracle-working God. We praise you this morning, oh Lord. We thank you, Jesus. No one else like you. No one like you, Lord. No one can do the things that you can do. No one can be the God that you can be. You are the Creator. You are the one who made us. We are made in your image, O God. You have redeemed us, O Lord. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you, Jesus. 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 Bless you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We honor your holy name. You deserve the glory. Yes. All the honor, oh Lord. Oh, we worship you, mighty Lamb of God. You deserve the glory, all the honor, Lord. We lift our hands to worship and to glorify your name. You are great. You do miracles. We are the miracles you've done, Lord. We are the miracles, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. No one else like you. You are great, so great, so great. Oh, Lord, we just want to praise you, Jesus. We just want to give you glory, Lord. Receive our praise today. Oh. Thank you, Jesus. Almighty God. Almighty God, Almighty Jesus, the one who died for us, the one who wrestled and overcame for us, the one who has gained the victory, the mighty conqueror who rent the veil in two, who has made us more than conquerors through you, Lord. We stand here in victory, Lord. We are not defeated. We are victorious. We stand here, Lord, robed in your righteousness. We stand here, Lord, healed by your stripes. We stand here, Lord, pulsating your faith. We stand here, Lord Jesus, with your goodness. We stand here, Lord, by your grace. Father, as we go before you and seek out you, Lord, that's all we're looking for is you. We're not here to hear somebody speak or somebody say something. We're here to hear a voice coming from you, Lord. Yeah. We're here to experience your presence. Yeah. Amen. There may be a few in here, Lord, that need that baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Send it down now, Lord God. Yeah. This is the time, oh Lord. Send your Spirit once more. Let someone experience it today, O God. Send down the Holy Ghost and fire, O God. Oh, we receive it in Jesus' name. We receive it. We receive it, Lord. Thank you for your word, Lord God. I pray that you'll help every person here, Lord, get their eyes off of man and get their eyes on you, eyes off of the flesh. And let our get our eyes on you, the supernatural God and King of kings and Lord of lords. And Lord, you would let your word be born in the manger of our hearts. Let it grow. Let it mature. Let a body materialize around that word. And I feel like you wanted to do that today, drawing us one step closer to that rapture. We thank you for that calling, Lord. We thank you for the beckon of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the voice of our own theophany calling us in. We receive it in Jesus' name. Bless your word. Amen and amen. I appreciate you standing. We're going to read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and starting at the 15th verse. And at the end of the service, Brother Tom, we'd like to have you come up after the service, and we're gonna have prayer for you. We appreciate the vote, everyone. He's officially the head deacon of the church. Amen. We've needed a deacon, and we appreciate all the others who are serving and helping along the way. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself, by means of a shout, by means of the voice of an archangel, and by means of the trump of God, will descend from heaven. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated at this time. And before we go right into it, I want to just make a call for a commitment this morning. I have to do this every so often. We want to do this. But the call for the commitment is that even though service worship starts at 10:30, we want you to make the commitment to be here at 10 a.m. because we're going to have a time to meet and greet people We're going to have a time of fellowship or whatever that might be. And so we invite you to come, be here at 10 a.m., make that commitment. 10:15 is a call to prayer. That's the least thing you can do. Be here at least 15 minutes before the worship even starts to get your heart right, to get your attitude right, to get in the spirit, to get in God's presence. I feel like we really did that today. So I see you doing it. I want you to just encourage all of you who are doing it, but make a commitment that you'll do it even more so. Amen? And then worship starts 10:30 right on the dot. Youth, we're going to have youth, which is 12 to 16-year-olds, every second Sunday after the service. So if anyone who's 12 up to 16, 12 to 16, it's every second Sunday of the month. You can keep that in mind. And then for young adults, that's 17 to 28 years old, it's going to be the first Sunday and the third Sunday of every month. And that'll start at 9:30 a.m. That's a big commitment for you guys, huh? But 9:30 a.m. We want you to be here. We're going to have about a half hour or so. We're going to get into the things that applying God's word in a young adult's life. Amen? Also, Brother Junior, he's not sitting back there right now, but he's been helping out. He's getting trained to be the guy that's the sound technician back there. So I want you to be praying for him and just give him a little handshake and hug and just let him know how much you appreciate him. You love the Lord with all your heart? Praise the Lord. All right, let's get right into this. 9 indisputable facts about the rapture. This is part 4. You know me, I don't really preach series like this, but you can pray for me not to be like Brother Donnie Reagan, which we love very much, but I trust there's not going to be part 195 or something like that. Praise the Lord. But how many's been enjoying the thought, the word of the Lord, the way it's coming? Amen. Hallelujah. You pray for me, and I'm praying for you. Let's go through these. We already spoke on 8 of them. There is number 1. How many remembers what number 1 is? There's going to be a rapture. That's a first indisputable fact. There will be a rapture. Can you say amen? And looking at the way the world's going, we kind of need one, don't we? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And number 2, it will be a pre-tribulation rapture. Don't listen to all this stuff out there, all the stuff that's floating. You know, the devil can't defeat it. He knows it's real, so he tries to confuse it. Author of confusion. But it'll be a pre-tribulation rapture. Number 3, it includes the resurrection and the body change. You could spend time on the body change because that's missed a lot of times. People thinking there's just a rapture is going to happen. But there has to be a body change first. Brother Branham said this over and over again. Before we can be caught up to meet him, we have to have a different body. We need a body change first. Number 4, it requires a special kind of faith. Amen. It's called rapturing faith. And as the prophet of God said, if we hardly have enough faith to heal a toothache, how are we going to have enough faith to change these bodies? But I believe we're moving into that realm more and more. How many believes that? All faith, including rapturing faith, and this is number 5, all faith, including rapturing faith, comes by hearing God's word. Amen. It's all in the word. Everything is in God's word. Can you say amen? Now, number 6, God hid the revelation of the body change in his word, but he promised an end time prophet to bring it out. And how many understands that's been done by the grace of God? And number 7, we are living in the season of this rapture revelation. I can tell you without reservation, I stand here before you this morning with rapturing faith in my being. How many has rapturing faith moving in your heart? Amen. Now, number 8, there remains a supernatural element despite the revelation of the rapture. Despite the fact you have rapturing faith, something has to trigger it to get it to manifest. Something has to start it. Just like you have a car sitting there, you've got gas in the tank, all the mechanics are right. We need the dynamics, the key. The key is not plastic, it's not wood, it's metal. Because metal conducts energy. It is made of the same material as the electrical system of the car. Can you say amen? And the key has to be plugged in and turned. And then it starts. It starts the car. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we have the mechanics of the body change. We just need the dynamics. Praise the Lord. There's a supernatural trigger that'll activate our rapturing faith to change our bodies. Praise the Lord. Remember how the plan of God works now. God did not send Jesus out of heaven 2,000 years ago on a red carpet with angels blowing trumpets. Here is your Messiah. God snuck into Satan's Eden and he planted a seed in a little 14-year-old girl and created himself a body and was there. And even the devil 30 years later was still confused. If you are, he didn't even know. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. He still didn't know. Hallelujah. But he was God's son. He didn't need to show off. What did God do? He snuck into Satan's Eden. Just like Satan snuck into God's Eden and planted a seed in a woman. So God snuck into Satan's Eden and planted a seed in a woman. And I want you to know, then the devil snuck into God's church and planted a seed in a woman. The woman that's now sitting on a beast. Can you say amen? Amen. But then God snuck into Satan's church and he says, come out of her, my people. And he's planted a seed again in a virgin. Can you say amen? Snuck it in there. How is the body change going to happen? I don't know, brother and sister. All I know is I've received a new word. Seals are off the book. Open Bible. And the word is now implanted in me. And ain't no devil in hell can get it out of me. And this thing that's in me, the word in me, the body will materialize around this word. It's already underway. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That's what our prophet told us. Do you believe it? He said the dynamics of this church will be a refilling of the Holy Spirit. How many has experienced the Holy Spirit? How many would like a refilling? How many feels like we had a little bit of a refilling this morning? One of these times is it. There's going to be a refilling and that's it. Boom, your body changes. I'm telling you. He says when the head and the body unites together, the full power of the Holy Ghost will raise her up. Hallelujah. It's going to be a resurrection. It's going to be a rapture. Rapturing faith that we've been, how many's been experiencing rapturing faith?
Amen.
The rapturing faith we've been experiencing through the opening of the word has raised us up out of dark denominationalism, out of our church is right and everyone else is wrong. That attitude of elitism is what God sent his word to fix. We can say to anybody, if it wasn't for the grace of God, there go I. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be that drunk over there. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I would be that woman over there, you know, being like a prostitute. It's the grace of God that we stand here today. And it's pulled us up, and it's also pulling the church together. I'm telling you this because I want you to get this. Though there be differences here and there and everywhere, the true bride of Jesus Christ is being drawn together. Right now, it's happening. She's being pulled together. But when the third pull is manifested, the greater works start happening among us. Believe me when I tell you, it's coming. And when it does, it will, as the prophet of God said, start the rapturing faith for the going away. Now, I know that a lot of times you read those quotes, you think, oh, okay, we don't have rapturing faith yet. He said it's in the future. No, he's not saying that. He's saying that there will be supernatural within the bride, among her, that will start it. Start it. It's just like having the mechanics of it, but we need the dynamics of it. Does that make sense? Something to start it. And now, finally, number nine indisputable facts about the rapture. Here's the ninth one. When the last person is born again and placed into the body of Jesus Christ, the full rapture revelation is going to unfold. That's all it takes. The last one. When we can get the last one in, we're going.
Amen.
We are going. Hallelujah. Here's what Romans 11, the apostle, says about this. He says, "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in." When the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, when the last Gentile is born again and in the body of Christ, God will turn back to the Jews. The rapture will take place. Oh, I'm excited about that, aren't you? 1964, Christ identified the same in all generations. Beautiful message. He says, "And when the last one is brought in, the body of Christ is completed, the rapture will come." I hope you believe that. It ought to put us on fire. The prophet of God said it should make us so on fire to bring in that last person. Because that last person is going to get us out of here.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. He never said, "Now you're a believer, so stick your head in the sand and wait for the Lord to come." He never said that. He said, "The Lord is waiting for you. He's waiting for us to get the last one in. Then he comes." Oh, they're all waiting for us. In Matthew 25, Jesus is speaking about a parable. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom." And so basically, whenever there was a wedding back in old Jewish times, the bridesmaids, the virgins who were part of the bride party would go and prepare to light up the street where because it could get late at night sometimes and it'd be dark. So they would have lamps to light the street, and that would be the path that the bride would be going on. And then these virgins would join in behind the bride on their way to meet the groom. So in other words, they're called the bridal party. They're just part of the bride. Can you say amen? And so Jesus is using this as a type. And normally what happens is that the groom leaves, and he has a party too. He has a groom party, and they will go a little bit before him, saying, he's coming, heralding the way. He's coming, the bridegroom is coming. They start shouting, and those virgins are closer than even the bride. They hear it, and they get ready. They light up the streets, and they're lighting the streets, and they meet together. And then they have the wedding, and the wedding party happens right there. And it never happens over at the groom's home. It doesn't happen at the bride's home. It happens in the middle, somewhere in the middle. Hallelujah. Under the copa, under the copa, they have it. Hallelujah. And we're going to meet the Lord in the air, not in heaven. The wedding supper doesn't happen in heaven. It doesn't happen on earth. It happens in the air. Hallelujah. It's just so typed so beautifully. I wonder if Jewish people know that every time they have a wedding, they're typing us out. Amen. Every time they do that, we're part of that. And so Jesus says there were 10 virgins, and 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And the reason that there was those that were wise is because they brought the extra oil. In other words, they had oil in their vessel with their lamps. If you read the scripture, it's worded exactly that way. The foolish maybe went hurriedly, and they had some kind of oil perhaps. But by the time they heard the voice, "Behold, the bridegroom comes," they trimmed their lamps. They cleaned up their lives. They had clean lives. They trimmed their lamps. And the wise had enough oil to keep them burning until the bridegroom was there and the groom, and they could have the wedding. But the foolish had run out of oil. And they say, "Hey, our lamps are going out. Can we borrow some of your oil?" And the wise said, "Go buy like we had to go buy. You go get your own." But as they were going away and to buy the oil, the bridegroom came, and the wedding was set, and they entered in, and the door was shut, and nobody else could get in. It's a type. When the last one is in, it's done. Do you believe that? Also, Jesus made sure he made the term very clear. He said, "And those who were ready went in." I want you to be that bride that makes yourself ready. You get to make yourself ready.
Amen.
How, Brother Elijah? Because the word of readiness has been sent to you. It's up to you how much you're applying it to your life.
Amen.
You have to do it every day. You've got to keep that word flowing in your life because you're making yourself ready. You're the bride dressing yourself in his word.
Amen.
And getting ready to meet him in the air. Jesus said only those who are ready and watching will go in. You've got to know what to watch for. What would be the point of watching if you don't know what you're watching for? Does that make sense? being ready is good and being watchful is good, but what are we watching for? There's another place where Jesus says if those had watched for their Lord when he came, they would not have been broken in like a thief in the night that takes you by surprise. So I want you to think about what we're watching for. Now, there is a verse of Scripture that says, "And the Son of Man shall come in a cloud with power and great glory." And all those, amen, who are aware of that will be looking up knowing their redemption is drawing near. Can you say amen? And I don't know about you, but that's good enough for me. I can accept that. I'm good with that, aren't you? That he has already given us the sign of his coming. And yes, I'm not afraid to say I believe the sign. I do. I believe the sign. But further, since the sign is there, God sends a sign, he also sends a voice. And there has to be a voice of the sign. Can you say amen? Just like every time the cloud showed up, a voice came out of it. Moses stepped in the cloud, a voice. A cloud surrounded Jesus and the apostles, and a voice. "This is my beloved son, hear him." Amen. And now there's a voice coming out of it. Can you say praise the Lord? And I want you to think in those terms that since the sign is there, we ought to be listening to a voice. Praise the Lord. So it's not just believing the sign. It is catching revelation from the voice, amen, which is real, true, divine faith. Amen. Now there are the order of the rapture is ninefold. Often you'll hear Brother Branham speak of the order of the coming of the Lord, the order of the resurrection, the order of the rapture. There's an order to it. And if you know what you're looking for and you understand the order, you can understand where we're at and what we ought to be looking for next. And there are enough things there to understand this after 30-something years of preaching this message and the Word of God. I tell you that these things are all tied in. Scripture's there, the quotes, everything is there. Everything is there for you to know the order of the rapture. Now, because of this, I want you to just be aware it's already underway. Praise the Lord. Because here's the ninefold order. One, the rapture message is preached. That's been done. I'm still preaching it right now, but it's already been preached. We have a rapture message. It has already caught you up out of your dead thinking, out of being a druggie, an alcoholic, or whatever else you might have been. It's already called you up out of that. It's called you up out of living a fake life that people live today in the day that we're living in. It's called you out of that. It's called you out of denominational systems and churches and religions that are leading you nowhere and calling you out of that and into Christ. Amen. It's enrapturing your soul. I have a raptured soul. Can you say amen? If my soul is raptured, the rest has to go with it. Amen. My spirit is next. Amen. I'm going in the rapture. I don't know about you, but I'm going in the rapture. I'm not waiting for the rapture. I'm already going in the rapture. Last year, I was further down. Now I'm further up. Amen. We're just keep moving up, 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 further in the rapture. Brother Branham said it this way. He said it takes the Holy Ghost to give you justification. Holy Ghost sanctifies you. The Holy Ghost fills you with with his spirit. And he says to baptize you. And the Holy Ghost gives you rapturing faith as we move up. It's rapture time. Hallelujah. We're going. So that's first in the order that's been done. Second, the Bible tells us there will be a great falling away. You can't have a great falling away unless there's a great truth to fall away from. And since the ultimate truth has come, now there's a great falling away from the ultimate truth. We see that happening everywhere. It's just a spirit of anarchy is everywhere. Look at the world. Look at the political world. Spirit of anarchy. Look at what's happening in the spiritual world. Anarchy. People are walking away and saying, "I don't believe this message, I don't believe that," and ending up not even believing the Bible. Because you can't reject truth here without rejecting all the other truth. Now, that's just the way it works. There's got to be a great falling away because the Bible tells it. And I'm going to go through these one by one. Number three, the fullness of the Gentiles come in. I just shared that with you. That is the ultimate thing. When the last one comes in, the rapture is going to get triggered. Amen. You believe it? Fullness of the Gentiles come in. Number four, the tares are bound. The tares become bound. They actually will create the ecumenical council bound up together to accomplish Satan's goals. We know that. Number five, the bride is persecuted and united. Don't think we're going to be able to escape something as we head into the tribulation. We're not going to go into the tribulation period. We're going to be caught up before the tribulation, but the pressure is going to mount. It's going to mount. We're going to feel the pressure. It's going to be a press, a squeeze, a persecution. Do you believe that? And number... greater works manifestation. Now, I don't know about any of you. I'm not interested in speaking squirrels into existence and then, you know, cooking them on an open fire and eating them. Maybe if you barbecued it. Maybe. Now, a Brother Luick over there, he probably would do the squirrels. He'd probably do it. Just because. And that's going to be amazing to watch. But when we're pressured, squeezed, when we're pushed out, when we can't do certain things anymore because of the monetary system. Right now, it's to the point where you can take your phone and just walk into buildings and pay for stuff and just wave your phone around like a magic wand and everything is done. Even your whole life is being told to the whole world. You know, we've already sold out our rights of privacy in this world. That's just the way it is. It's gone. I mean, there's not much you can do. But I'll tell you something right now. I just tell you this. Don't let that bother you one bit. When they do that, when the pressure comes and you can't even just go to the grocery store and buy food, which, by the way, that's all changing now, too. Who goes to the grocery store anymore? Just get your phone out and go ding, 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 paid. I'll leave a tip, too. Ding. And then ding, dong. And then your food is at the door. All your groceries show up at the door. And now they'll even walk them in there and put them right in your refrigerator for you. And you don't even have to be home. They can just do it when you're not home. This is where it's going, saints. This is the utopia that is going to deceive people into peace and safety, peace and security. But believe me when I tell you, if you're not part of the system, you're out. You won't be buying food. So squirrels are going to start tasting mighty good. And that brother over there knows how to cook them. That's all I'm saying. You might be in the middle of winter, no home, no heat, but you just speak it into existence. How do you think Jesus ended up on the shore with a fire and fish? How did that happen? He just spoke it. He just spoke it. He asked the question, do you have any fish? And then why did he need to ask? He just was like, because I have some. You know, it's amazing when you think about it. That's what we're moving into. And when those things start happening, and that's that overlap time. You'll see people coming to the Lord under that. You'll see something else happening. You'll see people who have cancers, diseases, instantly healed. Instantly. Storms will be stopped. You'll be standing here in December and everyone else has snow and you'll be standing with green grass around you and nice heat in the middle of summer. You don't think that's possible? Look at the darkness that hit Egypt, but not in Goshen. They had light. God can do that. He can take a whole area and it can be squalid for the rest and great for you. You'll just be in the eye of the storm. Why? Because you'll be speaking that. You'll just say it and it'll happen. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you understand what I'm saying? What is it doing? Because of that united, that love we have for one another, this is what I understand. You and I will never see the third pole manifested until we have the absolute great love for one another that we have to have. Because love is going to motivate that. We're not going to be saying, oh, that brother just called me a name. You go out of existence. See, that'll never happen. Because love. We'll be persecuted, driven together, love each other so much, and that'll cause the third pole to just start happening. Because we love each other. And then that'll bring the rest. So that brings us to 7. The mighty angel fully descends, roars, 7 thunders speak, the resurrection, the body change, all the things that has been revealed to us in this message are going to be fully manifested at that time. All the full power of the angel of God are going to be happening right in this bride. Do you understand that? Is that clear to everybody? Hallelujah. And then the next thing, there will be 40 days of reuniting, encouraging the church remnant that's going to have to face the tribulation period. That's what we're going to do. We're going to encourage them. And we're also going to hand this message over to the two prophets that go to the Jewish remnant, the 144,000. We've got work to do. We've got 40 days to get something done. John wrote about Jesus in his resurrection ministry. He had 40 days on earth, and John said he did so many miracles and so many things that there's not enough libraries and books in the world to contain it all. In 40 days, Jesus did all this stuff. It's not recorded, but he did it. We're going to do it. We're going to repeat it. Amen. And then finally, after the 40 days, the last part, the ninth part, we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So I want to go through these one by one while we have a little bit of time here. And that rapture message comes first. I'm just going to take you pieces of, or parts of verses of Scripture so you'll understand. The Lord himself, using a shout, shall descend, and we shall be caught up to meet him in the air. How many can say hallelujah? Hallelujah. A shout is a commanding voice. It is a message. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. By faith, the Bible says, Enoch was translated. And it also says, faith comes by hearing the word of God preached. Can you say amen? And if we're going to have rapturing faith, we needed to hear the word of God preached. Can you say praise God? Now, behold, Paul says, I tell you a mystery. We shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. And then also it says, in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, the mystery shall be finished. And we are living in that day. Can you say amen? So how many can say this part of the rapture, first part, stage, the rapture message comes first. How many? Falling away, or the word falling away, or apostasy, is the word desertion. The people that will desert the truth, they'll leave it. Now Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he says, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that's the rapture. You know that's a rapture verse, right? We ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if it was from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Somebody was writing it already happened. The day of Christ already happened. The Lord already came. Somebody was writing this stuff. People are writing it today. Think about it. Wow, that's something. Now, how many understands the Lord has come in the form of his word, and he's here? With the fullness of the Spirit of God is here. Amen. He's all here. Amen. But yet we still are going to meet our Lord Jesus in the air. Amen. Because the one who died for you and me is the one who has sent his full Holy Spirit here. Amen. With a full word for this day. Amen. To get us ready, because he's going to marry someone like himself. So we have to become him. Amen? Amen. So he says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And then he says, only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way, speaking of the Holy Spirit. So here's what we've learned from this, from the message, that number one, a great falling away is going to happen. How many can say, that's going on now? That's already happened. That's already happened. It's done. Now, then the restrainer is taken up. That's rapture. So another great sign that we're getting ready to get out of here is the falling away. We have to have it. And then he says the Antichrist will be unveiled and the tribulation period will happen. The brightness of the coming of King Jesus, which is Revelation 19, that'll take care of that whole thing. So all of it is written right out there by the Apostle Paul. But the great falling away has already happened. We're still in the middle of it now. Then the fullness of the Gentiles comes in under that message. Revelation 2 through 3 contains seven letters of our Lord Jesus Christ that he writes to seven specific churches, speaking of prophetically seven ages or dispensations of the church age that's already gone by. So how many understands we're in the last one? This is it. This is winding up. And when you get done with Revelation chapter 3 and that last or seventh church age period, praise the Lord, you go into Revelation chapter 4, where the Bible says, and the heaven was open, and a voice like a trumpet sounded, saying, come up here. Hallelujah. Rapture time. Does that make sense? When the last member of the church is born again, It's time to go meet the Lord in the air. His bride is perfect. He doesn't need to do anything to her. She's perfect the way she is. And he takes her as at like that. Amen. In the church age book, he says that makes the church ages and the fullness of the Gentiles one and the same thing. So you can tie those two things together. Next, the tares are bound. As soon as the last member is born again in this body of Jesus Christ, we're not going instantaneously in a rapture. First, the tares have to be bound. Remember that. The tares are bound first, and then the wheat is caught up into the barn. First, the tares are bound in the ecumenical council of churches. Satan's greatest plan to try to stop God's plan is to work right within the very same thing that Jesus ordained to be built, the church. And just like every time God has ever made a move, the devil has been right there to make his move. But God always combats it with his word and with his program. Amen. Jesus gives seven parables that he entitles the mystery of the kingdom. You remember that? Matthew 13. These are prophetic of the seven church ages again and how it all ends up. Listen to this one here. This is the one where we get the tare idea. Matthew 13:24. He says, another parable he put forth to them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares. That would be bad seed, weeds, among the wheat and went his way. And when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. Praise the Lord. It's got to happen. And then the landowner said, let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to be burned. Not burn them, but to be burned. So they're going to be bound and held first. Then he says, but gather the wheat into my barn, which is a rapture. It's a rapture thought. Hallelujah. Here's what the prophet says again, church age book. But once the tares are bound, the rapture can take place and does so at some time between the binding and the revelation of Antichrist. Hallelujah. I'm glad we're not going to be here to have to see the unveiling of the Antichrist because I really don't care. But this world's going to be deceived. They're going to think it's the greatest thing ever. When our Messiah comes and we're caught up and meet him in the air and we're out of here, then their Messiah shows up. But that's why we have to encourage the church, the true church, that will have to go through the tribulation period. Does that make sense? Next thing that happens, the bride is persecuted by the bound tares, and this ultimately unites her. You see how important this is? We don't know how to unite ourselves. We don't understand how we need to get beyond ourselves and our selfishness. We need help from the Lord, and he's going to provide it. So it says in Revelation chapter 6, verse 8, how many understands we're under the fourth seal? The first part of the fourth seal has already been happening, but the second part is coming. Watch how this two parts. So I looked and behold a pale horse, and the name of the one, him who sat on it was death, and Hades followed with him. How many believes Hades, like hell, has been poured out on the earth? Just look around what's happening around you. People are anointed with hellish demons. Then here's this, that's all been happening already. That's just what's been going on the last 60 years. But watch the second part of that. And power or authority was given to them over the fourth part of the earth. That hasn't happened yet, but as soon as the last seed comes in, that's it. That's the time when you'll see that happen. We may not know when the last seed comes in, but we'll know when they bind themselves together and put the pressure on us, then we're going to know it's done. And we know that's it. We're going home soon. And it says, and authority or power was given to them over a fourth of the earth, a quarter of the earth, probably all of America for sure, and other countries like Europe, to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by beasts of the earth. So pay attention to this. Authority is given to do those things. It doesn't mean they're going to be able to. They're going to have authority to close up the church. Right. But it doesn't mean they're going to be able to do it. Right. And even if they do, we're not, as the prophet said, we're not going to be closed up, we're going to be caught up. So don't stress about this. Just know it's coming. Yeah. It's got to happen.
Amen.
And if you think there's been a falling away, wait till the pressure comes.
Exactly.
We'll be down to 10% around the ranks of this message. I think we're already at 10% in this church, so we don't need to go any further. Hallelujah. God's good. He knows what he's doing, right? But keep that in mind, that he's given authority to kill. Not that it's going to kill a quarter of the earth. That's the way some people interpret it. That's not what it says. Authority over one quarter of the earth to be able to use pressure to, you will die if you don't do this. You're going to have hunger if you don't do this. In other words, there's going to be a strain financially on you to be able to go to the hospital, go to the doctor, get food, get medical help, have a place to live, all those things. But don't let it bother you, because that's what the third pole is coming for. And that's next. Brother Bram says, the persecution will run the big ransom church of God together, and we'll be one in Christ Jesus, and then he will take her home. And again, another place, he says this. He would bundle the tares first, all of the World Council of Churches, and then he says, it'll get a little persecution where you're pushed together. Do you think we really love each other the way we ought to? We're not there. And we don't have to wait for the pressure to get you there. You can just make the decision, Lord, we ought to love each other a lot more than we do. We ought to be concerned for each other. We ought to be helping each other way more than we do. We ought to be drawing bigger circles. When somebody draws a little circle and cuts you out, you just draw a big one around them and draw them back in. That's what we should be doing. Why is that missing in our? We shouldn't be missing out on that. We should push our way in there. Love should be the biggest thing. Because even faith for your rapture, any faith, all faith, the Bible says, is motivated by love.
Amen.
If love's not behind it, then it's just a belief system.
Amen.
It's an empty faith.
Amen.
But if love is pulsating behind it, faith will do works.
Amen.
Because of the motivation of love. Love creates the target for faith to act on. I want you to be healed if you're sick, because I don't want you to be in pain. Love in my heart gives me compassion because I'm feeling what you're feeling. I've been through some of the things you're going through, and I don't want you to stay that way. So therefore, I want to lay my hands on you. I want to pray for you, because the faith is being instigated. The faith in me is being inspired by love divine. And that's the part that's missing. Some people, they want to have faith and do healing so their ministry will blow up. So people will be attracted to their ministry. That's not the right motive. You can use faith on wrong things to be the wrong motive. The Bible clears that up. We should know that by now. Amen?
Amen.
But sometimes for many, it's just going to take persecution to push us together.
Amen.
We're going to realize, you know what? Our little differences don't matter. I thought it was a big difference, but it's really not a big difference. It's a little difference. Because you love the Lord, I love the Lord. I can see Christ in you. You can see Christ in me. When Brother Branham was under discernment, you know, one of the things he would pick up is he didn't have to have a vision that the person had see them kneeling and praying and repenting and asking Jesus into their life. He never had that. All he had to do was sense a welcome spirit. That's what he said. You have a welcome spirit. I know you're a Christian. I know you're a believer. Who knows? That person might have been Christ, Church of Christ. They might have been, you know, apostolic. Who knows what they were? Didn't matter to him.
Amen.
It was just a brand in the ear, or a brand on the bottom, the brand. But the blood tag,
yes.
They're all Herefords. They're all good to go. Amen. So it doesn't matter. You're under this church. You're that. But he said, one of these days is coming where you'll no longer say, I'm of this church. I'm of that church. I'm of Peter. I'm of Paul. I'm of Cephas. I'm of Christ. You know, like I'm better than everybody else. Elitism will be gone. And when that happens, then the next part happens. And that is the bride, now united with divine love, manifests the third pole, the greater works. Victory in the love divine. It's got to be there. Didn't say victory in faith. It didn't say victory in preaching. It didn't say victory in prophecy. It said victory in love divine. That's where it's at, saints. You want to know how death is going to be swallowed up out of your body? Love divine.
Amen.
Victory in love divine. Death will be swallowed up in victory. What victory? Love divine. And he says, now we can learn. This is what he says. The third pole will lay dormant for a little while until the great hour of persecution comes on. That's when it'll speak. It'll be manifested. I don't know how you want to take this prophet, but I'm just taking him at his word. And he even said in one place, then you'll do all the five things that I told you I did. Speak a storm out of existence. speak cancer diseases out of existence instantaneously, speak food into existence instantaneously, any other thing you might need, you'll just speak everything spoken word. Five things he talked about. He says you'll be doing it. He says it'll not be used in a great way, the third pole, until this council begins to tighten up. When the squeeze comes down, then it'll be manifested in the fullness of its power. Do you think he's the prophet of God standing on a boat with two fellows fellowshipping in a ship, raising a little tiny sunny fish from the dead? You think that was a big thing? That was just a taste of what's coming. Someone might have a heart attack in here and die, and someone's going to speak the word, and they're going to come right back up alive again. Not a little fish, a little rainbow trout, yeah. I hope you get what I'm saying here. You talk about that, the love will cause faith, will cause works, will cause more faith. And you can see what will happen is faith will build on top of faith, until we will be at a point where it will be like, why are we still here? You're right? What are we still doing here?
Amen.
Somebody be have their hand chopped off, speak it right back on again. Ear chopped off, put it right back on again. You guys are looking at me like this is all foreign language. Where have you been for 30 years, for 20 years, for 50 years, for 10 years? Where have you been? This is the word of God.
Amen.
1 John 3:2 and 3 says this, "Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." Let me tell you something, saints. Jesus Christ has come in this generation and revealed himself through the Holy Spirit, and he's making himself available. If you want to know him, if you want to experience him, you just have to get in that little room alone with him and you and him. Remember brother Luik over there? I mean, Wednesday night, who was here Wednesday night? I start talking about Superman goes into, you know, Clark Kent goes into the booth, comes out Superman, and then he's wearing a Superman shirt. I mean, who can plan that stuff? He's got a shirt on top of a shirt, and he says, "Under my shirt is a big S." Amen. May that big S be for a supernatural body, because you got one coming. But it's going to take us catching the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not yet revealed what we shall be, but notice how we can catch what we shall be, or what we are to be, is by the revelation of who he is. And that revelation is now available.
Hallelujah.
It is here. It is here. You no longer look into your Bible as in a mirror darkly, as the apostle said. But Paul said the day will come when we shall look in the mirror face to face. We shall see the Lord as a friend talks with a friend face to face. We shall become like him as we see in a mirror. Normally we look for ourselves, and most of us look for all the problems and the weaknesses and the faults and the frailties and all the negatives. But praise be to God, when you look into the mirror of God's word and realize you're washed with the blood of Jesus Christ, you are cleansed, and what appears only is the very righteousness of God, for he became your sin that you might become his righteousness.
Hallelujah.
You're looking at him. When you see yourself in the word, you see Christ.
Amen.
Mrs. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Do you accept this word?
Amen.
Do you accept the word of the Lord in this hour?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I wonder if Mrs. Jesus Christ is here this morning.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That means you're him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You may be the only Jesus anyone ever sees or ever experiences or ever hears from. You're him. Hallelujah. Oh my, I have to hold back some things. I just have to do it. Can't get into it. Now, I want to just deal with this for a minute. I want to kind of focus on this passage. The prophet used it several times. He tied it in with Philippians chapter 2, verse 20-21. where Paul wrote to the believers there and said, we look to heaven. Our citizenship is not from here. It's in heaven, the New Jerusalem. We are citizens of another place, another country, another place. And he said, we look to toward heaven from whence comes our Savior. Who shall change us? Who shall change our vile or bodies of humiliation? Anybody got a body of humiliation? Amen. In this we groan. Why are you groaning? Humiliation. Because I want to do right, and I'm trying to do right, and the Lord is leading me and helping me and inspiring me and encouraging me and giving me strength to do right, but I stumble here and there. Amen. And it grumbles. It makes us grumble. It makes us groan. Amen. The Holy Spirit in us, the right person in us, is groaning because this thing is a burden. But yet it's our inheritance. We have to take it with us. It's going to be changed.
Amen.
In the atoms. You believe that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's going to be changed. It's going to be purified. Now, Brother Branham said this, and I was just listening to it last night, so I'll just want to get this out to you before we wrap it up. He said, when I went past the curtain of time and I met all those saints, he says, those women were 20 years old and beautiful, and they were hugging me and saying, oh, my precious brother. And he said, it wasn't, you know how you don't have any funky feeling? You know, if a woman hugs you, you might have a feeling. If you're a man, or a man or a woman might have a feeling. If a man hugs her, you know, like emotion, or could be chemistry, it could be sexual, whatever. He said, there was none of that. But he said, it wasn't even like when you hug your sister or your daughter. He said, it was beyond that. He said, it was absolutely clear. There was a different level of love that when you embraced that woman or the man, there was nothing there but a godly sense. Hallelujah. He said, just pure, holy love. He said, oh, don't miss that place. He said, having that experience, he says, I love that. See, if you're a real believer, if you're not a real believer, you're going to hate that. That's why Satan's children are not going to like heaven. They're not going to like it. They want to be able to do something to the woman, not just hug her. But for us, men, and for you sisters, you want to know that that could be so amazing to have such clarity that you can embrace a brother or a sister and there's nothing there. Just love divine. He said, oh, what a relief that is. Think about these words. I believe the Apostle John, after or around the time, the first and second and third John, when he wrote those little letters, that he might have actually written those after he wrote the Revelation, the book of Revelation. Nobody really knows for sure. But doesn't matter. It's still probably when he's much older. He has a lot more wisdom. We are now children of God. That would be enough, right? But then he says there's more. We don't know yet what we're going to be. It's not revealed. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. Do you see where this is going? This is going toward body change. Like, we shall be changed and have a body likened unto his glorious body. These bodies of humility shall be changed. We should call it a body of humiliation is what the Greek word is. And we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Now, this is the most important part of this whole thing, especially for us. This third verse. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Oh, saints of God, listen to me. Hope is not a wish. It's not a, I hope it works. Hope in Scripture is a joy-filled expectation. It is an anticipation of an absolute event that is coming into your life.
Amen.
Like I was sharing with the young adults today, your birthday is set a certain time. You know there's going to be a birthday. You're going to celebrate it. You anticipate it. You know it's coming. We all know Christmas is coming. We anticipate it. I'm just trying to use examples. I don't know why that's making that noise, but it's all... But here's the thing. Hope is anticipating a concrete event that your faith has already revealed to you, it's going to happen. Watch Scripture. I've gone through this over and over. Only three things will last forever: hope, faith, and love. And hope is based on, maybe it's this here. Sorry. Try that. I'm on. Okay. That explains it. Little interference. And everyone who has this hope, this expectation, this anticipation, is actually purifying himself. Oh, I don't know how to say this, but you know how Jesus said, "No man knows the day nor the hour." And all theologians have interpreted that no man can ever know the day or the hour. But that's not what Jesus actually said, did he? He said, currently, as I speak to you, no one knows. I can't tell you myself because I don't even know. But when John wrote the Revelation, John was writing about Jesus coming into knowledge, because it's the revelation that God gave to Jesus. Nobody knows that? Read the first line of the book of Revelation. What does it say? It's the revelation that God gave to Jesus concerning his coming. The whole thing is about his coming. It was the only piece he didn't know. Say, how's that possible? Because Jesus was 100% man. At the same time, living in him was 100% God. But the 100% man part didn't always know everything about God. Don't worry about it. We'll get to the end of this. But here's the point. I just got to get this across. And Brother Branham said it this way one time. He says, hey, we may not know the day or the hour, but he didn't say we couldn't know the week or the month or the year. And that scares some people. And don't forget God's purpose for not spelling it out. For every time God might have shared something about that, he kept said, seal it up, keep it quiet. Daniel, be quiet. John, be quiet, seal it up. He just kept it a secret. Jesus gives parables instead of, because he didn't know. But here's the thing. The reason is because it could be very tempting for a person who knows that the rapture could happen, let's say, in 20 years. Oh, if I know the day, then I'm going to live for the devil. And then when the last second comes, I'll jump in and live for the Lord. And that's just cheap and sad. But people think like this. Amen. So he leaves it a mystery, and Jesus' only instruction is to watch and wait and be ready and be looking and be longing and be waiting, be excited, be anticipating, and then you'll be part of it. But the scripture tells us the bride, whoever it is that's watching, waiting, getting ready, will not be caught off guard. Praise the Lord. So by listing an order of the rapture, by listing these things, there's the fear that, oh, if we know all these things, we know what to expect, what we're looking for, then we might be kind of sloppy. But for me, when I see what's coming, when I see what's been done, and when I see what's happening, my heart gets more excited. I want to clean up more. I want to get more pure. I want to get more ready. I don't know about you, but I think at some point the whole thing shifts, where if God has opened up all the seals and opened up his word, opened up the word, he's like, I'm not hiding anything anymore. You're in the rapture cycle. Amen. That shouldn't make me be a pig and want to live like a slob and oh well, sometime down the road. It's going to happen. It could happen right now while I'm preaching. Amen. It could happen tonight. It could happen tomorrow. It might be another several years. What does it matter? But now is the time that we need to get serious before God and take our expectation. I know I'm in the rapture. I know I'm going to have a body change. I know my body's going to be like his body, hallelujah, and be glorified. And with this in mind, my heart this hope. It is purifying me just as he is pure. You say, well, some say, well, my soul is pure because I'm saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. My spirit is getting saved, purified, right? But my body, you know, that's the problem, my body. But remember, he can get you to such a place where your body can be so pure that you could look sin right in the eye and say, that's not life, that's death.
Amen.
Doesn't faze you a bit. You're not looking at it like it's an opportunity. You're not looking at sin or having a bad attitude like, well, I need to have my chance to have my upset. Somebody made me mad and I deserve to be upset. You're not thinking that way anymore. You're always thinking, how can I get rid of more stuff?
Yes,
what else can I dump off? He who has this hope in him purifies himself.
Amen.
And this might even be written this way. The him there is capital H. He who has this hope in him, in Christ, purifies himself. My hope is in the Lord from this time on. Forevermore. And this body is getting purified. Does it still need to be changed? You betcha.
Amen.
But that's the way to get there.
Amen.
Do you want your body to be changed or not?
Amen.
Then start the work of hope. Your expectation, your anticipation is this thing is going to be changed.
Hallelujah.
And I'm excited to just let that go and let that go. I can't tell you so many things now as we close of the Lord just teaching me and showing me, Lord, and then the Lord just saying, you need, and I go, oh, I need to get rid of that. Okay, praise the Lord. Where this is going, I don't know, but I can tell you this, we're getting out of here.
Amen.
It may not be now, it may not be tomorrow, it may not be in a year, it may not be in 10 years, who knows? But the bottom line is it's going to happen, it's happening soon. And if you're going to ever get ready, you need to start now. Some of you are way behind. But see, this is the beauty of this word we have. This is a word that speeds you up.
Amen.
It catches you up to speed.
Amen.
Get in the word.
Amen.
Get in this truth. It'll just catch you right up to speed.
Amen.
Don't worry about how you dress and how you're supposed to behave. The Lord will just teach you. Let that go. Let that go. And you'll be like, yes, Lord, that's so exciting. I don't care about that. The only thing I care about is I want to meet you in the air. And I'm so excited to see you. And I know I'm going to have a body like yours. I'm so excited. Just be excited.
Amen.
And praise him and give your heart to him. The revelation of the rapture or body change creates a hope, a confident expectation. That confident expectation is what is purifying you and will produce a redeemed, pure body as Jesus' body is. Can you say amen?
Amen?
I'm ready for it. May you be blessed. Musicians, please come. Hallelujah. And then I want Brother Tom to come up here in just a few minutes. Brother Tom is a man that I have absolutely fallen. He's a brother who loves to share this precious gospel with strangers, family, anybody. He doesn't hold back. He's been serving here now for many years, several years. We said 8 years, something like that. Or longer. 9 years. And Brother Tom just keeps looking younger. I don't know how he's doing that. We're going to have to talk to him about that later. And his wife, Sister Sharon, they just keep looking younger all the time. So I don't get it. But at any rate, he has met every single mark of a deacon in the church. He's had that role before, similar roles in the other churches that he's been in. And we sure appreciate our brother Tom and our sister Sharon. I believe when you get a deacon, you get a deaconess. That's how it works. I believe that. And so we're going to have Brother Tom come up. And we've already voted. He's been nominated properly. He's been voted in officially by this church. And we're going to go ahead and have prayer. And what we're doing is replacing you as head deacon, Brother Tom. Now we just have to get some more deacons so you can truly be a head deacon. But if you understand that it's a position that means you have everything all on your shoulders, just lovely. I know you love that. Amen. We appreciate that. And we're going to pray for him and have the spirit of this office be on him, resting on him. so he can be successful. How many will pray with me when our brother comes? Will you do that? Amen. Brother Tom, come on up here. Sure love you, brother. You're just a real man of God. Real man of God. Let's just pray. Father God in heaven, Lord, when the early church started to struggle and had some difficulty, the wisdom of your Spirit came upon the apostles and they said, look, we need to be concentrating on the word and on prayer. So he had the congregation seek out from among them men that could rise to the occasion and serve in the office of ministry, of tasks that would help the pastor as well as help the congregation. And a deacon is a representative, not just the pastor to the people, but also mainly the people back to the pastor. And Lord, so the ministry has a deacon who can have a pulse of the people and know what's happening and be able to meet needs and satisfy different difficulties, just as Moses needed 70 men to help him. Lord, we just thank you for our brother Tom. And we thank you, Lord, for his willingness to serve and his desire to serve. And I pray that you will now give him the anointing of this service as the deacon in this church, a head deacon, to be able to take that position and use it for the glory of God and really get us really into shape, ready for this rapture that we feel coming upon us now. Bless our brother, Lord, and his wife and his family. Just continue to minister to them and speak through them. And Lord, I pray that you would do one thing. Grant to my brother Tom the desires of his heart. I know he has some deep desires, Lord. And I want his heart to be happy and satisfied in you. Just go ahead, Lord. Grant those desires right now. We accept them in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome, brother. Appreciate that. The Lord will use you. Amen. Yeah. So my hope is in the Lord. From this time on and evermore, oh, my hope is in the Lord forevermore. And evermore, let's all stand. Oh, my hope is in you, Lord, forevermore and evermore. Let's sing a verse. In earth, and there of eternal life. In me, every good and perfect gift. His name is Jesus, is the source of my life. My hope is in the Lord forever. Yes. And evermore, oh, my hope is in the Lord forevermore, evermore. Lord, as we're dismissed, may you just go with each one. Lord, rapturing faith is increasing. And Lord, we are expecting a supernatural outpouring of the anointing on our faith that'll change these bodies. But the change, mechanics of the change, Lord, thank God for the message of the hour. The mechanics of the change are already there, set, ready. Just need the anointing, fresh and a refilling of your spirit. So be it in Jesus' name. God bless you. Shake one another's hand. Greet each other. Till we meet again in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. From this time on and